Well, we had planned this last week, but the snow and ice kept us from doing that. But we are thankful that we can gather this morning and talk about this important subject. And really, the question is not which one do you prefer. Do we not want to sell ice cream in Mayfield? I hope that we'll continue to do that. But do we want alcohol being sold alongside as we go to the grocery stores and things of that nature? We have an important community election coming up on January the 26th. It's a Tuesday. And it's important for us to be informed and for us to consider what the Bible says about it and for us to think about how we can represent righteousness and light in our community and what stand we should take for this issue. The elders support my preaching this, and they are financially supporting this effort of us trying as a community to get people to vote no, and they're encouraging us as a congregation to get out and vote no. And so I wanted to preach and talk about this as well. If passed, this will allow the sale of alcohol in all stores that are issued a license. And so it's a very simple question that will be asked on that ballot. It's just that the election only involves this. It's a special election that involves this issue. Do you approve of the sale of alcohol in Graves County, Kentucky? And there's no regulations and things on that in terms of that we're voting for. The local administration officials, the judge executive and the county executives and things would, and the other officials from our city that would be appointed from the ABC, would decide those things. And the ABC, the Kentucky State Administration Offices, they have some rules and things. But this election is just saying, do you want the sale of it to go on in Graves County? So this would allow for it to be sold if they get a license at convenience stores, grocery stores. It would allow for liquor stores and for bars, and for it to be sold in any type of way like that with some group of business that gets a license. The tax funds from the sale of the alcohol can only be used for law enforcement and fire rescue resources. So there's not some great windfall that comes back to the county from the tax revenue. In fact, because they understand that crime and those things are going to go up, the state has regulated across the state that tax revenues from the sale of alcohol go back to help out and to be used at the discretion of the law enforcement and fire rescue resources. It is money-making thing for many businesses. Something that makes money and will be profitable for some businesses, but not for our county and not for our kids. Consider the following when you think about this. Consider the following. That crime rates have been shown to increase when counties have the availability and access to alcohol more easily. Drunk driving will become an increasing danger. We had over 600 DUIs in Graves County in 2015 alone. That number will continue to rise with the easier accessibility, with more bars and more liquor stores. It's not that we don't already have a problem with alcohol or drugs in our community. We already do, don't we? And so this issue is not going to, if we defeat this, it's not certainly going to take care of all of our problems, and this sermon is not saying that. But it is going to make it more accessible and easier for people to get beer and alcohol. And it's going to allow for bars and people to be able to stay out and drink it at places like that more easily and then be on our roads driving under the influence. It has a significant impact upon our youth and upon our kids. Our kids will be exposed to it more as they frequent our stores. They will see it more in places of businesses and, as I'm mentioning, nightclubs or bars or convenience stores, things of that nature. It also harms our youth when parents have greater accessibility to alcohol. So it has a tremendous impact upon you. About 60% of high school sophomores through and older in Mayfield and Graves County schools believe that alcohol use is a problem already in their schools. Research clearly shows that more alcohol access equals more alcohol use, which equals more social problems. The higher density of alcohol outlets in our community is correlated with increased crime, violence, and alcohol use by youth and adults. And so the more alcohol outlets you have, the more it saturates a community, research has shown. Youth, for example, who begin drinking before the age of 15 are 4 times more likely to develop alcohol dependency than people who begin drinking at the age of 21. Underage drinking poses a range of risk and negative consequences. And so we understand all the problems and challenges. In fact, when you think about this issue in a national perspective, and we think about how we're making a decision on it here locally, and there's been so much talk in recent months and years about firearms and firearm safety. And so I want to illustrate or compare that. In 2013, for example, we had 33,000 deaths in some way related to a firearm, murders and things of that nature. But in 2013, we had 88,000 people die from alcohol-related causes. It is the third leading cause of death in preventable causes of death in America. It's, of course, very significant that about some 65 people die each day on our highways. Now, I'm not talking about Graves County, I'm talking about nationally, due to alcohol. It is estimated that over 3 million teens between the ages of 14 and 17 in the U.S. today are alcoholics. And approximately 14 million Americans, about 7.4% of the adult population, meet the criteria of being alcoholic. And so we've talked about underage drinking, and we talk about the impressions it makes on our kids. When you talk to people from Marshall County, who recently went wet, as we say, they had several elections there, and one of the things that I've heard, and I think some of you have heard this from them as well, is that this last election, after the election, I heard comments like this: the churches just fell asleep at the wheel. We let our guard down. We didn't push it. We didn't really think about it, and the churches didn't get out and vote, and they didn't think it would pass. They didn't put the effort into it, and then they regretted it. On January 27th, let's not wake up thinking, well, I wish I would have gone and voted. I didn't think there was any way that would pass, so I didn't really worry about it. Let's let the churches, let's let our church do our part in making sure we stand for righteousness and we care about the direction of our community. I'll say more about that at the end of the lesson, but I want to turn to the Bible. I want to turn to the Bible and ask an important question. Why a Christian should abstain from alcohol? I want us to think about it in this line. And though our subject is thinking about our community and why we should vote no, and we'll come back to that at the end, I think it's important to go, what does the Bible say about alcohol use? And I think it's important to understand that we often get wrapped up in conversations about the sin of alcohol and when does it become a sin? And people want to argue about, well, it's not a sin for me to have one drink and things of that nature. And I think it's missing the point of the overall biblical discussion and the biblical teachings upon it. It's missing the point of the emphasis of alcohol and the nature of it in our culture. And so I would suggest, and I believe it is wise, and I believe it is what the Bible would teach, that a Christian should, living in America today in 2016, should abstain from alcohol. And I want to share with you several reasons why I believe that. First of all, I believe the Bible would teach such. Let's look to a few biblical passages. First one I want to look to is Proverbs chapter 20, and John's already read the second one that we'll look to. But Proverbs says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler. Whoever is led astray by it is not wise." So Proverbs warns us about strong drink. In Proverbs chapter 23, the proverb writer goes into great detail in describing the effects of alcohol and how it is addictive in its nature and how it causes, in verse 29, sorrow and woe and strife and how many arguments and domestic violence come from the use of alcohol, and murders and all these things are so often connected with alcohol. For who has wounds without cause? Who has the redness of the eyes? But those who tarry long over wine, those who go to try and mix wine. For the Proverbs writer admonishes us, do not look at the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly, because it will bite you like a serpent. It's going to sting you. Don't be tempted by all the alluring looks of it, but it's going to sting you. You will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, the one who lies at the top of a mast. They struck me, and you will say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I wake? I must have another drink. The Bible would advise and counsel us of the danger of alcohol and of strong drink. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 11, Hosea is talking about some of the sins of the people. And he talks about this, and he says in verse number 11, whoredom and wine and new wine, which take away the understanding. They inhibit our ability to think and reason and understand. Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah would speak about this to the people of his day in verse number 11 and 12. He says this, woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may run after strong drink, who tarry late in the evening as wine inflames them. For they have lyre and harp, tambourine, flute, and wine at their feast, but they do not regard the deeds of the Lord. People that are only after wine and strong drink are neglecting and forget about the works of the Lord. And then when we turn to the New Testament, we find that the apostles and the works of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus, once again, are strong against this use of alcohol. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says, in listing off the works of the flesh, envy and drunkenness. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, do not get drunk with wine, for what is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter would write about the Gentiles, and he says in verse 3, it should be verse 3, it says, for the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality and passions, drunkenness, and drinking parties. He says that's what people that are not focused on Christ, that's what the Gentiles, the pagans want to do. They want to just spend all their time drinking and focused on drinking parties. Reminds me of how we often are in our culture, where it seems that people believe that you can't have a good time without having alcohol present. Whether it's New Year's, whether it's 4th of July or any of our major holidays, people just connect that so much with alcohol and its use, and that's the way to have a good time. It's a fallacy to use these biblical passages that speak of wine to justify it today in modern America. It's not our time this morning to talk all of what the Bible says about it, but real briefly, let me say that the Bible uses the term wine in a broad way. For one, it uses wine just to refer to grape juice. Secondly, it uses wine, the term wine, to refer to alcoholic content juice that was very low in its alcoholic content. And then thirdly, it uses the term wine, sometimes modified by the term strong so that we can designate it to refer to a higher alcoholic content or using wine in a way to get drunk. And so you have to determine context. Is it just talking about grape juice here? Is it talking about a lower alcoholic content? Or is it talking about it? And Proverbs helps us out because Proverbs says strong drink, talking about drink that is made strong with that alcoholic content. And what we must be careful and must understand, without talking all about the fermentation practices of ancient times, we must understand, let me put it simply, the kind of alcohol and the kind of drinks we have today are very much dissimilar. They're not a lot to the kind of drinks that they had in ancient times. The alcoholic content, the process of fermentation, and all that goes on there. And so it's not an apples to apples comparison in any way to try to just lift off some biblical passages that where you might read people making wine. For example, the most famous one of these that I should refer to was Jesus when he makes wine at the wedding in John chapter 2. Jesus made between 96 and 162 gallons, full water pots that were going to be drank over several days. And so Jesus did not make, I certainly don't want to make a straw house and try to say Jesus made wine that had no alcoholic content, as some have done. But I would certainly believe that if it had alcoholic content, it was a low alcoholic content like the wine of that day, and it was in a large quantity that was to be drunk over many days. So in other words, it was wine that would not allow you to get sufficiently drunk off of. And so it's not in any way a comparison with the kind of wine or strong drink, beer and alcohol and liquor we have today. And so it's a fallacy for people, and it's an understandable fallacy for people to read, well, Jesus made wine, and to try to make an apple-to-apple comparison. But it's not at all the same. And so the Bible would teach in its very plain passages that drunkenness is a sin. And that wine and strong drink are something that we should avoid because of the dangers that come with it. And that wine and strong drink are something that the Gentiles, that the pagans do in their drinking parties. And that we should want to stay sober and stay alert in our faculties. So the Bible would teach these things. Secondly, why a Christian should abstain is that our reputation would demand such. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible says, abstain from every form. Abstain from every form of evil. In Romans chapter 14, Paul is talking in the context about our example. And about, in his context, about going to idols' temples and eating drink and wine that was offered to idols. And he says in verse 21, Romans 14, verse 21, it is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. Now, the key idea there is this. Paul says, I need to always live my life not wanting to do things that would cause someone else to stumble. Abstain from every form of evil. We've talked about the evil and the dangers of alcohol. And then Paul says, don't do anything that would cause your brother to stumble. And certainly this is something that causes us in our own lives to stumble and lead others to stumble. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible would also speak of this same idea of our example or our influence. When Paul talks about this same idea, he says in verse 30, if I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So we want to make sure that our lives are lived in a way that would give glory to God, that our example, our influence, it's not going to be harmed. And I think it's understandable and it's clear in our culture that a Christian's example is harmed. It's harmed when we participate in these things. So think of your influence and your reputation. And then number three, I would suggest that a Christian should abstain from the use of alcohol because our self-preservation and our success should expect such. What do I mean by self-preservation? I mean that our own faculties, our own soul, our own livelihood, our own family. I mean, I could, if we had time and if we were in a classroom setting, we could go around this room and every family could share how their family has been touched and impacted by alcohol. And you could tell about how a coworker or a friend has been impacted in a negative way by alcohol. And so what we need to understand is that our own self, that all of us must take heed lest we fall. That all of us can struggle with this. And that we should want to abstain because our own success, our own self-preservation should expect such. Paul, in the book of Romans, once again, says that we are to be, in chapter 12, a living sacrifice. And he says something important here. He says, present your bodies. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And he says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. It's important for us to make sure that we know that we are a living sacrifice, that our bodies are a living sacrifice, and that we're to do everything that would give glory and honor to God. And certainly, what goes on in our current world with alcohol and drinking and drunkenness does not give glory and honor to God and is not holy and acceptable as we want to live our life. And so we are to walk, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6, we are to walk soberly, we are to walk righteously. So our self-preservation would teach such. You see, we have so much to lose. You know, we often think about the stories, but whether it's men who have lost their job, who've lost their families because of the use of alcohol, parents who've lost relationships with children because of the use of alcohol, whether it's men or women who've had to live for years with regret. I was reading a story this week about a man who had heard the warnings. It was in our men's class in our book we were reading there. Had read and heard so many warnings about drinking and driving. But he said, I thought they didn't apply to me. And one night he left an establishment and was on his way home. And he killed and ran over a child. And he had to go to prison for that. But when he got out of prison, he was going around and speaking. And he was trying to tell other people about the idea of the dangers of drinking and driving. And one of the things he was trying to emphasize is that I heard all the warnings, but I thought they didn't apply to me. And he said, but all the times, all the speaking and different things I do can't make up for the regret and the guilt I feel. He said, there's so much to lose. Our self-preservation and our success. So much to lose with our families, with our wealth. I've mentioned this before, and that my granddad was an alcoholic, and early in his life had really lost a lot and was in danger of losing his family and was not doing well financially. Through the help of AA and the help of the Lord, his life was turned around. And I remember growing up and several times being over at his house, and someone would come. And they were coming to seek his counsel and to get his help about how they could overcome this. And I would hear stories about this man, and about what this man was, and about all he was losing. His wife had left him. How he had a good business and how it was going under. There's so much to lose. There's so much to lose. You know what? Let me say this as we think about this issue too. There's so much to lose for our community. So much to lose for our community. So as we think about Christian and alcohol sales, our elders are supporting this effort and desire that every registered voter get out and vote no. We will transport you and help you. We've checked that it's legal for us to do that to the polling place. Obviously, next January 26th, we do not know what the weather's going to be. And in January, it could be like last Sunday. It could be bad weather. And they're going to make every effort. They're going to have that election no matter the weather. And they've got the road crews on standby, and they're making efforts to get the roads clear if it is poor weather. But we understand that many of you may not need to drive if that's the case. And so we will do whatever we can to get you there. We'll have the church van and things. And if it's bad weather, I'm sure, of course, our schools are going to be out. We got some men that have four-wheel drives and things. They can help take you to a polling place. But you need to call the church or call myself or call one of our elders about that. If you're going to be out of town, you can go ahead. They're already taking absentee balloting. You can go up to the courthouse and go ahead and vote. And let us encourage you to do that. If you're going to be at work and not be able to vote, away from Graves County or something, or if you are just can't do that, go ahead and vote. Let me say one other thing about that too. If you have a child who is in school, let's say at UK or Louisville or Freed Hartman, you have a child that's away, your child can vote. You need to go up to the courthouse and tell them, tell Barry Kennemore and the workers up there, and they will send them a ballot, and that ballot has to be mailed back in. It has to be mailed back in by January 26th at 6 p.m. So that ballot has to be returned. But your children or others who are Graves County citizens, now they have to be residents of Graves County, but that they're away at school, they can vote. And so be aware of these things. Also, we have flyers and personal discussions. We have about 20 yard signs out there. And we also have flyers, and next week we'll be putting bulletin inserts. And so use those things. Share it on social media. Let's get the word out about voting no. And so there's a group that we're helping and a part of, Concerned Citizen for Graves County, that are against this issue. And they have two meetings, and you can go there and pick up literature and supplies as well. Tomorrow night it will be meeting at the Senior Citizen Center here in town, over by the Blue Building, where that is. And then on January the 25th, it will be at the Baptist Association office on Cuba Road. And so you can be a part of that. As you think about this issue too, we must understand, as I think about my hometown, and I think about so many other towns across the South, small towns similar to Mayfield. You know, we got a nice looking town. I have people, I have lived in, grew up in Missouri, lived in Tennessee a while, and I like both those states. But, you know, especially our neighbors down south, you know, you got to tease Tennessee a little bit. You can get out, it can be kind of rough. In Kentucky, we have some places like that, but overall, we've got nice-looking places. People take care of stuff here. They mow the yards, they keep the town up, and things like that. How many towns do you drive across the South, Tennessee, places in Kentucky, that are run down, and what do you see flashing, and what do you see the main businesses in town doing good? The nightclubs, the bars, and the liquor stores. Go through mine. Now, my hometown is only 3,000 steel, but what's steel's about run down to nothing except for the run-down bars and liquor stores. Folks, we don't want Mayfield looking like that. We don't want that in our community. We don't want the harm that comes from it. And we want to stand for righteousness. Whether it's approved or not, let it be said that Seven Oaks stood up for what's right. Stood up for what's right. And so what would Jesus do? Jesus would do what was best for his physical body. He would abstain from alcohol. For his critical senses, so he would be sober. He would do what's best for those he loved. He would do what's best for society. He would do what's best for his service to God, and he would do what's best in standing for righteousness. Let us stand up for what's right, and let us pray. Let us pray on this issue that it can be defeated. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, our lesson is not focused on that, but if you would like to give your life to Christ through repentance, confession, and baptism, if you need to rededicate your life, please come as together we stand and sing.